I'm Nash Wedderburn, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. With so much concern around slowing global economic growth, we will take a closer look into one of CIO's themes and its exposure to secular growth trends. Today's guest is Thematic Investment Associate Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Michelle LaLiberty. So welcome back, Michelle. Great to have you. Good morning.
Morning.
So I know one of the biggest reports your team put out this week was titled U.S. Equities, the Power of Internet. So let's begin by having you walk us through the theme and how it fits into the current market environment.
Sure. To summarize, we believe that Internet stocks, this would be represented by the Nasdaq Internet Index, offers investors exposure to enduring secular growth trends. Yet it's giving them, you know, relative insulation from some of these trade headwinds. And the index is designed to track companies with any type of internet-related business model. So that could mean anything from internet search engines, internet software, streaming services, anything that really falls under that, you know, internet umbrella, if you will. So in terms of the market environment, we have seen trade tensions and related economic concerns weigh on or really loom over investor sentiment this year. And in our view, investors can bridge this gap of trade-related concerns, yet maintain, you know, some growth exposure with a position in this index. And if you look at the index weightings, large internet companies account for a majority or around, you know, 65% or so of the index. And these companies tend to have a domestic or regional focuses. And then if you look at another part of the index, which would be consumer service companies, they're similar in that sense, in that Chinese companies tend to operate within Chinese borders, and the U.S. index members tend to derive revenues domestically or from regions generally outside of China. So in the middle of this backdrop and the uncertainty surrounding this trade situation, we have seen a bright spot, and I would say that we think that's the consumer. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. consumer remains pretty healthy. And then if we look to China, we do see potential for the consumer segment to keep growing as a greater portion of the population moves into the middle class. So overall, we think this would be supportive of the theme, too.
Yeah. So you mentioned the theme's exposure to secular growth trends, right? Can you explain a little more about what these are and how they relate to the theme on a whole?
Yeah, definitely. So I would break the secular drivers really into two baskets. So that would be e-commerce and then digital advertising. E-commerce has actually grown to make up about 15% of total consumer retail sales, but that's something that we expect to keep growing. Mm-hmm. Thanks to rising smartphone penetration, higher internet penetration. And we also see this growth supported by the expanding middle class, like I mentioned earlier. And then I'd say, too, that technological innovation is making this idea a little more convenient for consumers. You know, delivery is getting faster. There are more and more options for online shopping. So that would be one of the secular drivers. And then if I were to look to the second one, and, you know, perhaps related is digital advertising. So we think that's another secular driver for this theme as we're seeing advertising dollars shift from traditional media outlets to digital platforms. And this should continue to benefit internet service companies. We think that internet advertising trends remain healthy. Now, there's always certain headwinds to keep in mind, the competitive practices, data privacy is just a couple examples, but mm-hmm. overall we see some strong underlying fundamentals here in the digital advertising space.
So aside from that, what makes the space in itself appealing to CIO?
Right. So the secular drivers are a little bit, you know, the broader, maybe more of a, I don't want to say longer term because mm-hmm. it is a 6 to 12 month horizon. But if I'm looking to, you know, more specifics as to why this is appealing for right now, first I would point to the equity sector strategy that we have right now.
Okay.
And if you look at the Nasdaq Internet Index, it's about 1/3 communication services, it's about 1/3 consumer discretionary, and about 1/3 technology companies. So in our equity sector strategy, we're overweight both comm services and consumer discretionary. So that kind of bodes well with this theme. And while we are underweight technology, and we think that the IT services and software subsectors, which are part of this internet index, have healthy, the secular growth prospects that I talked about, And we also see them as less exposed to rising tariffs than some of the tech hardware and the semiconductors. And then besides, you know, just being in line with our sector views, the index was trading at attractive valuations, you know, partly probably due to some of the regulatory concerns, which I can, you know, dive into a little bit more. But if you actually look on both price to earnings over the next 12 months versus the S&P, and then also on a relative enterprise value to EBITDA basis versus the S&P, the index was trading below its longer term average on both of these metrics.
So before I let you go, just one more question. Just like every other sector, there's always a risk associated with that sector. What are some of the risks, and you've highlighted throughout the report, with this sector in particular?
Yeah, so with the theme in particular in the NASDAQ Internet Index, I think there's a couple associated risks that are, you know, definitely worth mentioning, and I would point to three in particular. Number one, I would start with the regulatory risk, like I just briefly touched on. This could be part of the reason that we have seen these more attractive valuations, because they have weighed a bit on certain names. And a lot of these large U.S. internet companies are facing regulatory scrutiny pertaining to their use of data, the related privacy concerns, and also on antitrust litigation and the potential for, you know, breakup of some of these companies. I also say there's a chance that, you know, going into election year in the U.S., some of this rhetoric or some of these risks could become amplified, like I said, as we go into that election season. So we'll definitely continue to monitor how this regulatory landscape unfolds. The second risk I would point to is probably, you know, just the broader macro risk overall and some of the second order effects that come along with that. So while these companies are relatively less exposed to trade than in our view, Bruce confidence caused by some of this trade uncertainty could still dampen consumer spending or business investment, and that could still have an effect on their performance. And third, finally, I would just note that we are cognizant of some of the risks that exist as these companies, you know, work to either maintain some of their relatively high levels of growth or expand into other businesses. And as they work to do this, they could accelerate investment in CapEx or, you know, face higher operating expenses as they, like I said, try to maintain some of those high levels of growth. And that's probably similar or somewhat related in a sense to the risk of rising competitive pressures in some of the certain segments like streaming, for example. So those are probably the three main risks that I would note.
Thanks again, Michelle.
Thanks.
And again, we've been joined by Thematic Investment Associates of Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Michelle Liberty. There are many publications available now on UBS Online Services, including this publication titled The Power of the Internet. If you're a client of UBS, be sure to reach out to your financial advisor to receive a copy directly. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit UBS.com/workingwithus. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.